The Diary of Fate. Fate plays no favorites. It could happen to you.
Book 96, page 831.
In the Diary of Fate.
Yes, here it is. The name Lloyd Mawson. Occupation, junior executive. Yet Lloyd, in spite of the promising position you hold with the thriving Barnes Trucking Corporation, you are a failure. You are convinced that the ledgers of life are carelessly audited and that your failure can only be attributed to an unequal distribution of fortune's bounty. But now, Lloyd Mawson, I, fate, intervene. And because of two little things, a lack of a coin and an innocent gust of wind, your life soon will be utterly destroyed. Take heed, you who listen, for in a moment it will be time for a further entry under the name Lloyd Mawson. And when I have written, I will read from his record in The Diary of Fate. Of Lloyd Mawson now lies open before me. And for a moment, I, fate, look ahead to a single instant of horror.
Give me that gun.
No.
Give it to me.
No.
Give it here.
Help.
Give me the gun. Now, Charlie, you're not going to make any phone calls.
Yes. In the life of Lloyd Mawson, a grim decision was made. And a life was taken. Yet in the last analysis, it was something small and seemingly insignificant that determined the inevitable outcome. It is ever thus. Little things, yes. Yet these are the tools which I, fate, employ. I have no alternative. See, it is all part of a plan. And once set in motion, nothing, not even I, fate, can alter its inevitable course. Remember, Lloyd Mawson, how it all started? You were late for a luncheon appointment when you stopped at a telephone to call and explain your delay.
No change. Well, I beg your pardon, sir. Do you happen to have change if I have to?
Well, Jim, huh? Jim Wyatt.
Why, Lloyd Mawson. Well, well, this is a surprise. I thought you were still in Chicago.
That didn't pan out. Ran into some bad luck. I'm with another outfit now, a junior executive job. But you, Jim, you certainly look successful enough.
Oh, well, can't complain, Lloyd. Yes, things really have been breaking pretty nicely for me. Say, how about having lunch with me, my club?
Oh, I'd love to, Jim, but I have an appointment with my girlfriend, and I'm late already. Oh, why don't you join us? You've never met Christine.
Well, I'm sorry, Lloyd. I'd like to, but I have a business appointment. But look, let's make it for cocktails later after work, huh? How about the Colony House?
All right, Jim. I'll see you there at 5:30.
Yes, because of a little thing. The lack of a coin. You, Lloyd Mawson, met an old friend. And a half hour later, as you ate lunch with Christine, the picture of the prosperous Jim Wyatt was still in your mind.
After all, Lloyd, dear, you've only been with Mr. Barnes for 3 months now. You can't expect miracles in that short a time.
Miracles? Christine, in the past week, I've contacted 2 new clients. Good ones. And what happened? As usual, my luck was rotten.
Oh, Lloyd, you've got to be patient. Everyone gets bad breaks. It's only a matter of holding on, sticking it out. Oh, I'm sure of it, darling.
Ah, that storybook, rags to riches stuff, makes me sick.
Oh, all right, but it's just as wrong to spend more time worrying about your luck than you do about the work in front of you.
I'm not so sure of that. Now, you take that Jim Wyatt I ran
to. Oh, Lloyd, please. You've told me twice already what he was wearing, an expensive suit and a hand-painted tie.
The point is that a year ago, Jim Wyatt was just a penny-ante real estate salesman. Then he happened to talk to the right man. A month later, Christine, he was in the chips.
Very well, so he was lucky. We all get some good breaks and a few bad ones, too. But no one can afford to sit life out waiting for Lady Luck to smile. It just doesn't work that way, Lloyd.
You wanted to see me, Mr. Barnes?
Oh, yes, Morrison. Sit down. Morrison, losing the Dillian account isn't really your fault. It's just a matter of, well, I'd say it's
bad luck, Mr. Barnes.
Yes, that's it exactly. Of course, you're not to give up now. Remember, my boy, you sold Mr. Dillian on using our trucks in the first place. The fact that his firm had other reverses is no reflection on your ability. There'll be other clients along, better ones.
Yes, sir. Is there anything else, Mr. Barnes?
No, I don't believe... Yes, one thing, Morrison. I've already told the others. If you ever have occasion to work here at night, notify me beforehand. Be sure the office is closed when you leave.
Well, has there been any trouble in the neighborhood, Mr. Barnes?
Oh, 2 or 3 robberies in the past month or so. I'm worried about that $5,000 payroll.
But we're paid by check.
Well, not the truck drivers and freight handlers. They come in for cash every Friday morning. Payroll is put in the safe Thursday afternoon so Miss Woodhouse can pay the men at 8 the next morning before the bank opens. But just to be doubly sure, the insurance company had me change the combination today.
Oh, I see, Mr. Barnes. Well, if I'm here in the evening, I'll be certain the place is locked up tight before I leave.
Fine. Oh, and about that DeLeon account again, Morrison. Remember, my boy, you did gain a lot of experience.
Yes, you had gained experience, Lloyd. And according to Mr. Barnes and Christine, that was a great asset, more important than money in the bank. But when you met Jim Wyatt that afternoon at the bar in the Colony House, you knew that nothing meant more to you than money.
So it's just hard for me to believe you're the same fellow I knew a year ago, Jim. How'd you do it?
Well, Lloyd, when the opportunity comes along, I grab it. Ask questions later.
Yeah, I figure the same way, but I...
But for you, the opportunity hasn't come along until now.
Until now? What do you mean, Jim?
Running into me was a good thing for you. Look, Lloyd, I'm no fool. My present job is all right, but it's small time. Why, for every dollar I make, the boss gets 50. I've served my apprenticeship, and now I'm ready to go into business for Jim Wyatt.
Doing what, Jim?
Same thing, real estate. I've already incorporated the Wyatt Land Development Company. It'll cost me, $50,000 to bring all the loose ends together, but inside of a year, or maybe even less, it'll be worth 5 times that figure.
But where do I come in?
Well, I could sort of use an assistant, junior partner. I like you, Lloyd. I've always liked you. And if you're the smart boy that I once knew, we ought to go places together. If not, well, my mistake. It'll cost you $10,000 for a quarter interest. If it's no go, you take your money out with you.
$10,000.
Yeah. Can't you raise that kind of money?
Oh, sure. Oh, sure I can. Well, it may take a little time, but I'll have that money.
One way or another, you, Lloyd, had to get money. But you knew that even with your savings, you could only manage $4,000, possibly $5,000. and the fear of missing an opportunity to join Jim Wyatt in business flowed your mind to everything else. At your desk the next afternoon, you were unmindful of your job until Mr. Barnes called you into his office.
Mr. Barnes?
Oh, yes, Morrison. It's about the Adams packing account. You know, we've been trying to land them for a long time now. Morrison, did you hear me?
Hmm? Oh, yes, sir. The Adams packing account.
Now, I'll admit there's only a remote possibility of your getting them, but I think it's worth the try. There's a handsome commission in it, you know. Now, let's see. I have the file number someplace. Oh, yes. On my memo pad. Now, here you are. Miss Woodhouse can get the folder for you from the files. And don't forget, Morrison, this may be the chance you've been waiting for.
This could be the opportunity you had been waiting for, Lloyd. But as you returned to your office, you were restless and warm as you stared vacantly out of the window and at the city beyond. Finally, you opened the window. And at that moment, Lloyd Mawson, I, fate again intervened. And in your life, another little thing happened. An innocent gust of wind swept across your desk. And the memorandum that Mr. Barnes had given you drifted to the floor. You picked up the paper. And then, Lloyd, you stopped and stared in frozen fascination.
Right, 12, left, 61. Right, 0. The combination. Combination to the safe.
As you held a slip of paper against the sunlight, Lloyd, you could plainly see the impression that had been made by someone writing on your employer's memo pad. Instantly, you recalled Mr. Barnes speaking of a new combination for the safe. The safe that held $5,000 every Thursday night. For a moment, you continued to stare at the paper. Then you moved quickly.
Jim, this is Lloyd. Lloyd Mawson. I'll have that money all right, Jim. I'll have it by the first of the week.
Because of two little things, Lloyd, a lack of a coin which led you to Jim Wyatt, and a gust of wind by which I, fate, caused you to discover the combination of Mr. Barnes' safe, you would come to a decision. A decision for evil. Now the plan was set in motion. And soon, Lloyd Mawson, I will write another entry under your name in the Diary of Fate. Lack of a coin, a sudden gust of wind, you were given the opportunity for decision. And you chose for evil. And even now, as you outlined a scheme for action, a scheme in which the creation of a false alibi was the key, a chain of circumstances had begun to encircle you. But you were not aware of this as the next morning, you stopped by Christine's office.
Lloyd.
Christine, I'm going to have a new job soon. A good one.
Oh, that's wonderful, Lloyd. So Mr. Barnes finally did.
No, it's got nothing to do with Barnes. I told you my luck was due for a change.
Well, I don't understand, Lloyd.
I'm going into partnership with Jim Wyatt on a land development deal. But we have to keep it quiet for a while.
Partnership? But won't that take a lot of money?
Well, no, not for me. You see, Jim's putting up all the money. I'm coming in to run it. Isn't that great?
Oh, yes, I guess so. I hope it's the right thing.
You bet it is. I'm sick and tired of waiting around, honey. I'm going to make this the right thing, and I'm going to start tonight.
That, Lloyd, was the first step in building your alibi. The alibi essential to your plan. After arranging to meet Christine early that night, you returned to your office. There, another little thing happened. When you picked up the telephone, it was busy. You were about to switch to another line when the words you heard stopped you.
Well, my dear, you simply have to apologize for me. I can't possibly be home in time for dinner. I'll be tied up with cards at the club all week.
Quietly, you replaced the telephone. Yes, Lloyd, Mr. Barnes himself had given you the cue for the second step in your alibi. You thought quickly, outlined the conversation in your mind, and a few minutes later, you knocked on the door of Mr. Barnes' private office.
Come in. Well, Morrison, come in. I was just going to call you about that Adams account.
Oh, fine, sir. I hope I'll be able to sign him up soon.
I'm sure you will, Morrison. You've run into a lot of bad luck lately. I want you to know that I'm aware of it. It's not all your fault.
Well, thank you, Mr. Barnes.
Just remember, it takes time to get started. If you're patient and keep plugging, I think you'll do all right with this company. Matter of fact, I'd like to get together with you some evening and kind of talk things over.
Well, that's a fine idea, Mr. Barnes. Why, I'd like very much to have you over to my place. How about tonight?
Why, sorry, but I can't tonight.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm going to be home all evening, and I just thought, well, maybe next week then, huh?
Yes. Another brick was added to the structure of your alibi, Lloyd Mawson. Now all that remained was the one all-important piece that would hold everything together. You bought a newspaper, opened it to the radio guide, and checked the programs that were scheduled from 8 to 10 o'clock that evening. You found one. A music show called Lucky 12. You left the office, and a few minutes later, you entered the lobby of the radio station.
Afternoon, sir. May I help you?
Well, perhaps you can. I'm very interested in a musical program called Lucky 12.
Oh, yes, sir. Very popular these days. I'm sorry, but all the tickets are gone. Would you care to see any others?
No, you don't understand. I don't want to see it. I want to tune in on it at home. But I wonder if it's possible to get a list of the selections that are going to be played. You see,
yes, sir. I think I can get that for you. Just a moment, please. Hello, Shirley. This is the reception. Say, there's a gentleman here who wants a list of the selections to be played on Lucky 12 tonight. Can you get it for me? Oh, fine. Yeah, I'll tell him to wait. I'll just bring a copy of the list down in a few minutes, sir, if you care to wait.
Well, thank you, I will. Thank you very much. I feel like a heel breaking up your evening late this way, Christine.
Oh, well, don't. I'm delighted, really. It's good to see you so enthusiastic about your work, Lloyd.
Well, the job's going to be hard at first. Lots of nights like this one. And I'll have to go home early and work all by myself. You aren't going to mind too much, are you?
Oh, of course not. Oh, don't bother coming to the door, Lloyd. You go on home and get started.
All right, darling. But look, call me tonight and give me a pep talk, will you? It'll be a good break for me. Say about 8:30.
Okay. I'll call at 8:30 sharp. And if you're asleep, Mr. Martin, there's going to be trouble.
Asleep? Don't you worry about that. I'd pull my car into the corner there, John, and you can park here.
Okay, thanks, all right.
I'm not going out tonight anyway, so I don't mind being wedged in. That's right, Mrs. Murphy. Going to spend the whole evening just listening to the radio and catching up on my back work. A ticket to the fights? Well, thanks, Mrs. Potter, but I'm staying home tonight. Got some work I have to get done.
Now you were ready, Lloyd. Nothing had been overlooked. At 8 o'clock, you switched on your radio and found the Lucky 12 program. The first song checked with the title on your list. Quickly, then, you took the telephone off the hook and laid it on the table. Then you slipped into the deserted hall and down the back stairs to the basement. You went to the delivery door, stepped outside, and wedged the door catch open with a piece of cardboard. You walked to your office, sitting on the back street. It was 8:32 when you entered a nearby telephone booth and called Christine.
Lloyd, I just tried to call you, but I got it.
Yeah, I know. I've been tied up in a long conversation about this new deal. That's why I called you. I figured you'd be trying to reach me.
Well, how's it working?
Pretty good. Well, say, there's a fine musical program on the radio now. Lucky 12, it's called. Why don't you get it?
What's
well, let's see. About 900 someplace, it looks like from here. It's on until 10. If you're still up when it's over, call me back.
Yes, Lloyd, by 10 o'clock it would be all over. And you would have the money you wanted so desperately. You went up to your office and let yourself in. In a matter of minutes, you had opened the safe, removed the money, and closed it again. It was then that you heard a key turn in the lock. Panic-stricken, you crammed the money into your pockets as the door opened.
Well, it's you, Mr. Morrison.
Huh? Yes, Charlie.
Hey.
You gave me quite a start slipping up like that.
Yeah, I didn't see you come in. Didn't know who you was. We're kind of late, aren't you, Mr. Morrison?
Well, I just dropped in to pick up some papers I forgot this afternoon.
Oh, you did?
It's all right, isn't it, Charlie?
Oh, sure, please, I had orders not to let nobody in tonight. Nothing's been canceled, is it? Well, to be on the safe side, you don't mind if I call Mr. Barnes and tell him the orders, you know.
But, no, Charlie. Of course I won't mind. I won't mind at all.
Wait, Mr. Morrison, no, you don't now. Here, stop that.
Give me that gun. Give it to me.
My arm.
Give it here, I say.
Help.
Now, Charlie, you're not going to make any phone calls.
Yes, Lloyd. The night watchman was dead. For a stunned instant, you stared at his body. Then you ran. Later, unseen, you slipped quietly into your own apartment. Yes, Lloyd Mawson, you were safe, and you had an alibi. A good one. For from the list of music you had memorized, you knew what had been playing on the radio all the time you were gone. Now, Lloyd, there was nothing to worry about. But lest you who listen think that fate is unjust, a conspirator in crime, in a few moments it will be time for the final entry under the name Lloyd Mawson. When I have written, I will read from his record in the Diary of Fate. Back to your apartment, you felt you were safe, that nothing could go wrong. You had an alibi because you knew every piece of music that had been played on your radio while you were away. Hurriedly, you took off your coat and hat and put on a dressing robe. And as you were lighting your pipe, the insistent knock you had anticipated
came to the door.
Mr. Barnes, this is a
this
pleasant...
This isn't a social call, Watson. Something terrible has happened. The night watchman was killed and the office safe for up to $5,000.
What? Good Lord, when did it happen, sir?
About over half an hour ago. The police say it was an inside job, Watson. They're checking on the whole office staff. Have you been home here all evening?
Well, yes, sir, I have. I've been listening to the radio, a program that's on now, Lucky 12, for the past hour.
Can you prove it?
Well, I can name the songs they've played so far.
And now, Lucky 12, the program that brings both speed to all the brings wealth and cold cash to one lucky member of our office. It's the Lucky 12 jackpot, and now we've selected 12 names at random from the phone book of the entire nation, and here we go. Stand by your phones, everyone. The first name is from right here in Los Angeles. It's Mr. Lloyd Mawson.
Why,
yes, sir, Mr. Mawson.
Why, that's you, Lloyd. They're calling you.
Calling me?
Mawson's home stands submitted by $1,000. The phone is ringing now. All he needs to know is the simple answer to our jackpot.
Well, go on, man. Answer it. Yes, this is one night it really paid you to stay home and listen to the radio.
Yes, boss. But yes. Hello? Lloyd Mawson speaking.
Hello, Mr. Mawson. This is Lucky 12 calling. If you've been listening to our program, you'll know tonight's jackpot question. Just tell me the answer to our jackpot question on the Constitution of the United States. Well, sir, you know the answer?
Well, I'm afraid I...
What's the matter, Mawson? Don't you know what the question is? Well, tell me the question, Mac.
Boss,
I know the answer.
Sorry, sir. Our time is up. Too bad you weren't listening to our show. Tonight's Lucky 12 jackpot question is worth $5,000.
Yes, Lloyd. What might have been your good fortune instead became the instrument of your destruction. And now you sit in a prison cell, awaiting execution for murder. And now it is time to close the book. Another entry has been duly noted on the pages of eternity. In the case of Lloyd Mawson, as in the cases of all mortals, I, fate, am but the instrument of a plan. And the countless little things that happen in your lives are the tools with which I work. Through the simple lack of a coin and a sudden gust of wind, Lloyd Mawson chose for evil. And the end for him was death. Now the plan is finished. Complete. Ponder well the moral, you who listen, and remember, there is a page for you in the Diary of Fate.
The cast included Herbert Litton, Tyler McVeigh, Bob Lowry, Jerry Hausner, Joan Barton, Ray Erlenborn, Ivan Dittmars, and Hal Sawyer. Diary of Fate is a Larry Finley transcription, brought to you from Hollywood.